Well, we began a new series last week, and I received a lot of phone calls, comments about that. Some people that are watching online, welcome online. And just really excited about what they learned last week. So I want to just touch on that from last week, and I want to dive more into this series called More Than Words. We're talking about the Bible, the importance of the Bible, the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Last week, we saw that the Bible is our bread, its nourishment, and we learned a lot about that nourishment. Using an analogy, bread represents food. Bread represents food, and we know it's the Word of God, that the Bible represents nourishment, not only to our physical, emotional self, but to our spiritual life. So my question, and I've asked this question once before in my teaching to this church, how long could you go without food? And I did a lot of study with that. I talked to some doctors, and most experts say, you know, we always use that word experts. But anyways, 40 to 80 days, we can go without food. How long could you go without water is the question. The answer is most experts say 7 to 21 days, according to your conditioning. So what we find is that physical food is so important that you would die. But we understood last week in our spiritual life, if we don't allow the Word of God to become bread, and today we're talking about that the Word of God is water to us. So if we don't allow the Word of God to become our food and water spiritually, what happens spiritually? How long can you go without it, without dying spiritually? Again, I'm not talking about salvation, because your salvation is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. But how long can you go without the nourishment of the Word of God in your life? So if the Bible is food and water, how long? Now, I know our spirits are saved by the blood, and it's sealed by the Holy Spirit, but we still, sometimes we think that there are a lot of malnourished Christians today because they don't understand what the Bible is telling us, what the Word of God is about. So I don't think many are eating their bread and drinking their water like they should be. Sounds like our parents, right, when we were kids. So let's pick up last time. He said God gave them bread from heaven, but the true bread is Jesus, and we know that the true bread it's talking about is the Word of God. So let me show you how God, watch this, ties bread and water together, which is the Word of God. In Psalm 105, verse 40, it says, the people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Then it says, verse 41, he opened the rock and water gushed out. So the point is, there was literal bread, but the bread represented something in the spiritual. So when you study the Word of God, I'm trying to get you excited about the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, you'll see the physical aspect of what Scripture talks about. But you need to also understand that there's a spiritual principle that is being brought out in all things. So let me say this to you. Is it possible that the rock represents something in the spiritual? Here's the picture, what we just read. There was a literal rock, there was literal bread, and there was literal water. water came out of the rock. Follow me with this. But it actually said, watch this, that this rock followed them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm walking down the street and I see this big old boulder following me, I'm going to run. But we sometimes are confused by what Scripture says because we don't acknowledge the spiritual principle it's bringing out. So the rock followed them. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a rock follow you, all right? But there's something that we need to grasp, and I'm going to show you that Scripture actually tells us who the rock is. There's some things that you can't understand. You're reading the Scripture, and you just don't understand it, but don't throw the Bible to the side and try to figure out psychologically or physically what's going on here. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have many aspects of teaching and learning and classes at the church. That's why you can go back online and listen or watch our messages, because the Holy Spirit at quiet times will bring you great revelation that maybe I didn't even say. Because this is all about us. God gave us the Word of God, not just your pastor. So please know this, or you will never be able to understand the truths of the Bible. The Bible is a spiritual book written by a spiritual being to spiritual beings. Now, again, as I said, I'm going to show you what Scripture says about that principle I just said. There are so many spiritual things in the Bible. I know this is a long introduction again, but better said, there are many spiritual meanings that we need to sit and wait. And I'm going to say it in a little bit that we're going to ponder on things as Mary did. Because there are things that God wants to say to you, and he is saying to everybody, but at that moment, in the relationship he has with you, you are so vital to him, and he loves you. He wants you to correlate the truth so that you would be set free to succeed in the areas he's taking you, even though there's tribulation and situations in your life. We're going to talk about that too, about our mindset about why things happen in our life. And I'm going to try to help you recognize that, because bottom line, the main reason why situations arise in your life, tribulation, is to get you out of the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that's going to transform your life. All right, so stay with me. You are Christians. If you are born again, you are Christians. So let me just say this to you. Sooner or later, you're going to have to read the Bible. Are you with me? The Bible is not a history book, even though it's historical. It's not a book of literature, even though it's poetic. The Bible is an autobiography from God. God himself gave us this book. We need to re-energize ourselves. We need to open up our hearts and say, this is vital to my everyday life. Now, we are told he opened the rock and waters gushed out. There is a New Testament scripture that tells us exactly what happened. Now, I am saying the rock had a spiritual meaning and the water had spiritual meanings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, watch this, talking about this, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Some people might nudge, where can you get that drink? They all drank the same spiritual drink, and that drink was spiritual. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, the Word of God. By the way, did you know that the cloud, when they were walking in the wilderness, the cloud that followed them by day and the pillar of fire at night was the Holy Spirit? The rock was Christ. So the water represents the Word of God. And again, when I say things, I always use Scripture to prove to you that what I'm saying is true. So I'm not just saying this is what I feel and this is what I think. I'm telling you, Scripture tells us this, and that's why I am teaching this series, a four-week series, to really help you and to energize you to get excited about diving in the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I am in the Word of God every single day. Some of you might say, well, you know, that's what you do for a living. I can tell you probably 30% of you don't like your job. And if someone said, you want to go hang out at your job, you'd say, no way. I have to choose, just like you, to love the Word of God. I have to choose, just like you, to understand the spiritual meaning. It just doesn't come because I have a P before pastor, you know, in the sky, that I saw a P, and it's like, pastor. You know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it meant painting. Today in our world, there is a war of words. And we need to choose what words we're going to listen to. God is telling you what happened and what will happen in Scripture. Satan is saying, did God really say that? Trying to bring doubt. And he does a really good job with it because there are a lot of believers, Christians, who doubt Scripture, who doubt that God is a healer, who doubt that God will take them out of their financial situation and into prosperity. So I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'm going to run quickly through this because of time. But I want you to just think of 3 words. And Satan wants to flood us with his word. He wants to famish us from the Word of God. Flood us with his word. Famish us from the Word of God. And God wants to fill us with his word. And that's what we're going to talk about, and I'm going to show you in Scripture. Here's my first point. Satan tries to flood us. He tries to flood us with words. In Revelation 12:9, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we need to first understand the serpent is the devil or Satan. Watch now what the serpent, what he does to the church. And I'm laughing because it's such a simplistic thing. And if we were really grab a hold of the principle, and Scripture even talks about sowing the Word of God, but if we just grab a hold of this principle, when things arise in our life that bring emotional turmoil and tribulation, we'll understand where it's from, and we will stand a lot stronger when things happen in our life. And I promise you, things are going to happen in your life. It's not because you're good at what you do or because you did good things, or you know my word, gooder things in your life. He comes after you because he wants to take the word out of you, because it's the Word of God that will bring every promise of God in your life. Are you with me? So, also, I'm going to bring in this, you know, I'm going to show you what he said to the woman. And it's a type or a shadow of principles in Scripture. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, or let me just say it this way to understand better, by the truth of God's word. So the serpent, the devil, spews words at you. Let me ask you this. What comes out of your mouth? The answer is words. We have words too. Satan spews water, words out of his mouth to the church to cause you to be carried away. Let me just show you just a few. There's thousands, but there's just a few here. You're not going to make it. Spewing that stuff. You're going to die early. This disease in your family will come upon you. You married the wrong person. Just a flood of thoughts. Water. You're in the wrong job. God doesn't like you. Tithing doesn't work. He says you're crazy. Some of you are, but that's all right. God's getting you back for the sins you're living out. But listen closely. We're talking about our salvation. God can never punish you for your sins because he already punished Jesus for your sins. You got to hear it. Don't go to extreme. I didn't say that actions or things that we do or say doesn't create problems. But I'm saying it's not God. How many times do we blame God for the situations in our life? Psalm 69 says this, "Save me, O God, for the waters," talking about Satan's words or lies, "for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me." You ever been there? Psalm 69, 14 and 15. "Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me. Nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me." And when we look at it, we think it's just physical water. It's talking about the words and the lies of Satan coming at you when you are facing the situations that you are facing. And you lay awake at night and you're thinking, what am I going to do? And the enemy says, well, let me tell you what you're going to do. And he goes, and he spits it out on you. He spews this lie and this junk at you, and we begin to believe it because why? Our thoughts, our soul is flooded with the same thoughts. And we're going to show you how to defeat that. Watch this one as we talk about the words of the enemy. Psalm 93, 3. "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice." See, words. "The floods lift up their waves." Praise God for verse 4. "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." In other words, the Lord, his word, is mightier than the word of the enemy, than the mighty waves of the sea. So God tells us the flood have lifted up their voice, but my voice, the word, is louder than their voice. Grab that principle because I'm going to show you how to use it. More than words. Remember, God can talk. But Satan can talk too. But here is another situation. You and I can talk too. We are created in the image of a speaking spirit, Scripture tells us, our God. And he speaks, and we speak too. So let me ask you this. Be honest with me. Has your mouth ever gotten you in trouble? Oh, man, your silence says, yes, it has. So what I'm explaining, Scripture's telling us, deep waters, floods, waves represent words. So Scripture tells us the Word of God is a fountain of water. Floods, deep waters represent the enemy's words. Your words are water also, and you can drown yourself. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Where does wisdom come from? The Word of God. Knowledge and wisdom come from the Word of God. Proverbs will tell you that. Matter of fact, you can talk yourself into falling, or you can talk yourself into failing, because you're listening to the wrong words. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me clarify that scripture, because there are some teaching out there that just is extreme. But if you see it properly, you can see it extremely as truth. A little play on words. But I just want you to understand, there are people that will explain the scripture, death and life and the power of the tongue, without understanding the revelation of scripture or words in your mouth, bread and water. They say, so does this scripture tell me I can speak to make someone die or to live? The answer to that is absolutely not. You don't have that power. Here's what it means. God speaks words of life. The Bible. Satan speaks words of death. Speaking opposite of the Word of God. The Word of God is life. The opposite of that is death. I have the power to agree with one, what God says, or to agree with the other, what Satan says. And how do I do that? By speaking what I'm agreeing with. You have the power of life and death. I can agree with the one who speaks life over me, or I can agree with the one who speaks death over me. So now death and life are in the power of my tongue for me. Thank you, because if you grab the principle of the Word of God and the Word of God becomes real to you, then your words will be full of absolute life of God. And the things that God says to you, the things that God brings to you, will overwhelm you with the truth, even in the midst of hard times, tribulation. And God will take you through. God has promised you things. Those things will come to pass. But we have a power to agree with it and to walk with it. Bottom line, there is only one thing that can defeat the words of the enemy. Watch this, Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The standard is the promises of God. When the enemy comes in, when you face tribulation, when you face all kinds of stuff in your life, and the confusion is wanting to rise up, there is no confusion with God and the Word of God. You rise up. You dive back into the Word of God. Let me tell you, there are times, seasons in my life, I am confused. Stuff goes on, stuff that I haven't experienced before. Stuff happens around my life. And I'm confused as to why. But I've learned decades ago, dive into the Word of God until the confusion goes away. Where the Word of God will transform my thinking. And I begin to speak the Word of God, even though it's getting tougher, it's getting bad, it doesn't look good. And what's happened is just like, I might as well quit. I might as well just, it's never going to happen. This is my dream. My dream's gone. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're listening to the wrong words. And we have to get our lives to a place where we recognize this is what God said to me, and he is not a liar. And the liar is Satan, and he is full of words. And I wasn't going to say the other word. He's full of words. And, you know, y'all look at me real pious, but you thought of the word too. So the question is this. Jesus quoted scripture to defeat the enemy's temptation. If the Son of God uses the Bible to overcome temptation, how much more do we need to use the Bible? So, number one, my first point, Satan tries to flood us so we get confused. Here's the second one. Satan tries to famish us. Satan doesn't want us to hear God's word because he knows that will save us from the turmoil. Okay, now I'm not talking about the reality of your knowledge of the Word of God. I'm talking now on the second point of your ability to hear the Word of God. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go. So important. Remember, we're talking about bread and water. Amos 8, 11 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread." Okay, we're thinking physical, but we understand the spiritual meaning. It's the Word of God. So the Word of God is always there. People say, well, there are times that the Word wasn't available. No, no. No, the word is always available. And it says, not a famine of the word, bread, nor a thirst of water. Remember, Jesus said, you will never thirst with this, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So there's a reality now, is because in this world, there's a lot of words going on. There's a battle. And you are hearing a lot of stuff that is opposite of the word of God. And I'm saying to you, one of the biggest battles was during COVID, the hearing of the Word of God. There was the Word of God going all over the place, all on online, on TV, everything. It was like there was more Word going out during COVID, but the problem was there was a lot more people not hearing the Word that was going out. And it became a habit. There is now a move of the Holy Spirit. There is a move of God that is so real right now, especially in our young people and in all of us, but especially our young people. And the word is happening. And here's what we're trying to do at Valley. Online, all the things that we do is we're trying to get people to hear the word of God. To not just know the Word of God is there or just go to church, but to hear the Word of God. So it speaks of a spiritual famine. Again, all through the Bible, there are two conversations going on, natural and spiritual, and most are missing the spiritual principles of the natural conversation. He says, I will send a famine on the land, and it's not a natural famine, but a spiritual one. By the way, notice it said a famine of hearing the word. I said that again because I wanted you to really grasp that. It did not say a famine of the words of the Lord, but of hearing it. There are plenty of words of the Lord. The problem is hearing the word. What does hearing do, hearing of the word do? It produces faith. What does faith do? Faith moves mountains. Some of you are climbing a mountain right now in your life. You're struggling. Hearing the word of God is important. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Prosperity and good success comes after you hear the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the words of the enemy, nor stands in the path of the sinners, their complaints, their hatred, their anger, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like, because of that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, trees planted by a river. I grew up in Michigan, lakes and rivers, and the trees were huge by the rivers. Rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The word prospers, God takes your burden and carries it for you. That's basically what it's saying. If you meditate on the word, your marriage, your family, your children, your health, your finances, your career, whatever you do will prosper. See, if we believe this, it would change our habits of reading the word. I'm going to say that again. Because there's a few things I'm saying today. Holy Spirit said, drill it in. Be a drill sergeant. If you would understand what I just said, then you're going to say, Pastor, would you just shut up so I can go home and read my Bible? No, you wouldn't say that because you love me. And the roast is not burning. So, the famine was of the hearing of the word or sowing. Hearing and sowing. Mark 4, watch this. Past Sunday, I just concluded the sower and the word on Sunday night. And tonight with the children, the youth, and the Bible study, come at 6 o'clock. And we're going to talk about killing giants God's way. There are giants in your life. The sower sows a word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it says, Satan can take the word out of my heart. That scares me. So the question is, how can Satan take the word out of my heart? Remember, God speaks, Satan speaks, and we can speak. Who are you listening to and who are you agreeing with? The question is, but when we speak, asking from where do we speak is our thinking. We should always ask ourselves who is speaking. How do you know it's God? Comes in line with the word of God, God's speaking. And we speak from the abundance of the heart, Scripture tells us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this is what I need to say to you, and it might sound harsh or might sound strong, But I'm trying to get you to fall in love with the Word of God. Whatever we say comes out of our heart. Whatever is in our heart comes out of our mouth. So if we're not planting the Word in our heart, then what's being planted in our heart? Satan's words. So immediately it says that Satan tries to get you to speak something in opposition to the word that you just heard or read. So if you speak opposite of the word of God, the word that was sown leaves your heart. That's the problem. So how do you keep the word? Let me just show you. Hide it in your heart. Then meditate on what's in your heart and memorize the word. Let me just stop in the middle there. If I say something, I'm the self-corrector. If I say something out of my emotion, how many of you have done that? I asked you a question. Have you gotten in trouble because of what you said? Yeah. Okay. Some of you won't admit it. That's all right. We don't have confession here. We're okay. But you got to check with what you said. Because I promise you, folks, if you fall in love with the Word of God, your spirit will go, wait, nope, that's not what God says. And you self-correct. That is when someone becomes mature in the Word of God, is they self-correct. A lot of Christians today don't self-correct, but their spouse is correct or their friends correct. And how many of you don't like it when someone corrects you? So here's what I've in my life. I'm a self-corrector. Now I've come to a place where I've given place for my wife to correct me. I've come to a place, people in my life to correct. But in most cases, I self-correct. And so no one else needs to correct me. So if you correct me, you're wrong. No. No. But are you grabbing hold of that principle? The reality is a lot of people, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Well, start telling yourself what to do. There are a lot of people who don't tell themselves what to do because they don't know what to do because they haven't fallen in love with the Word of God. So hide it in your heart, then meditate on what's in your heart. In other words, you're going over, is this right? And then you memorize the Word. You hold on to it and ponder that word, like I said earlier, like Mary did when the angel gave her the truth of Jesus will be her son. So Satan tries to flood us. Satan tries to famish us so we don't hear. And then my last point is a really good one. Jesus tries to fill us with his word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, that's what I said earlier. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So don't be surprised. Many don't understand the word because they are spiritually discerned. Because the Bible is a spiritual book written by spiritual beings to spiritual beings, and they don't get that. And they're trying to do spiritual things by eating natural bread. Now, let me show you the difference here. Jesus, in many cases, has conversations with people who are always thinking in the natural, like us, but he brings them to the spiritual. And this is a famous scripture. You all know this, found in the book of John. By the way, Identity is going through a series on the book of John. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. There's that word. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. All natural thinking. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, okay, the enemy wants to get you not to hear spiritual things, and he wants to flood you with other words, because you're a Jew, you're not supposed to be talking to me. Give me a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Basically saying this, let me paraphrase. If you knew who you were talking to, I was the one who created the whole universe, and I hold it in the palm of my hand. But she goes right back to the natural. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? See, logic and science. I'm a logical person, and I always enjoyed science. All right? But that's where we go all the time, logic and science. Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob? Duh, yeah. All right? Who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, the natural water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water, spiritual water, that I shall give him will never thirst, the word of God. But the water that I shall give him will become in him will become a fountain of water, living, springing up into everlasting life. Did you see the natural and spiritual argument? How many times in my life have I lived arguing natural and spiritual? How many times have I made decisions based upon my logic of what I'm thinking between the natural and spiritual? Where people would say things like, well, you know, this is what I think God is saying. No, no, no. What did God say? The revelation of the Word of God. Don't let anybody talk you out of the Word of God. Don't let anybody tell you that this isn't the Word of God. Well, you know, there's errors that, no, there's not. No. Okay? They're saying, well, you know, there are many other books are written. Yeah. Okay, yes. But if you study, you need to go to a cell and you'll study how the word became, how the word was put together, and you will walk away thinking, wow, this is truth. Amen. See, people don't look at the Bible with spiritual eyes and deduct their life. She said, well, you don't have anything to draw the water out. It's deep. See, Jesus is saying what the Word of God is in your life, you don't need to be deep. I want to be deep in the Word. You don't need some famous tool to be able to get you to understand everything. Now, I have tools of study that I use. Greek, Hebrew, all that stuff. But the reality is, Jesus saying, fall in love with my Word, keep it in your heart. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to hear my voice, and you're going to walk in my ways, and you will prosper in everything that you do. That's the promise of the word. Amen. When you open the Bible, Jesus is saying, I'm not talking to you in the natural only, but spiritual. And the word of God becomes a fountain inside you. He wants to fill you where the word of God is gushing, where the fountain washes from the inside out. We're always trying to fix the outside. We're always trying to fix the problem. And I'm just saying to you, stop just trying to fix the problem. Naturally, there are things that we have to do. You know, if you're eating French fries for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're going to have a health problem after about 40 years. But instead of reading the word and letting it wash you from the inside out. Ephesians 5, look at this. Husbands, the anointing that's in your life, in your marriage. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Your life becomes word. How you handle things, how you do things. Our spirits are cleansed by the blood, but our souls are cleansed by the washing of water by the word. Your war is in your mind. Your war is in your will and your emotions. Take a word bath, because why? It will cleanse you. There's your answer. Take a word bath. It will cleanse you. I grab a hold of this so many times, and I sit, and it's not like, you know, there are times I study to teach, but there are many times I just study, God, I just want to know you more. Look at our songs today. God, I just want to worship you. I just want to know you more. That's the heart of a man of God that's filled with the word. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All during my teaching, there's healing. There's a healing anointing that's here. I'm just proclaiming over you in Jesus' name, be healed. Walk in that truth. Proclaim it. Some of you are in pain right now. In Jesus' name, you are well. Don't look at the natural. Look at the spiritual. Jesus took stripes upon his back for your healing. Your marriages, your jobs, your businesses. Some of you are making decisions at work. You're really not knowing what to do right now. Holy Spirit knows what to do. And it may not even make sense. But what the enemy's doing, he's flooding you with worry. He's flooding you with, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about that? Stop for a moment. The enemy's trying to rip the word out of your heart that you have. Meditate on that word. Get in it. Get in it. Repeat it. Proclaim it, because you speak too. Because you're created in his image and his likeness. Proclaim the word of God over your situation. Watch it. Watch it just, oh, it's like absolute revelation that'll take place. God is moving in a mighty way. To all our young people that are here, you got to understand, my passion is for you. My passion is for you. So many words that you hear at school, on the ballpark, you know, when you're playing baseball, softball, soccer, whatever it is, so many words, so many things being told to you. Dive in the Word of God. Fall in love with this thing. It will transform you. It will help you in every area. Be blessed today. Let this afternoon be the greatest afternoon you've ever had. And tonight, come back. Hear the word of God. Killing giants God's way. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.